We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I want to get hats. They're Bigfoot hats, and they say, "Bigfoot's real and he tried to eat my ass."
I want to make
be a good summer hat.
I want our merch to be something like that.
Welcome to The Holy Hour, a podcast about sex, relationships, mental health, and everything in between.
I'm Amelia Sanson.
And I'm Liz Ball.
Follow us on Instagram and TikTok at The Holy Hour. I'm on Instagram and TikTok at Amelia Sanson.
And I'm on Instagram and TikTok at Liz Ball So Hard.
You can also watch us on YouTube or listen ad-free on Patreon at patreon.com/theholyhour.
Check out our merch at theholyhour.com and email us your spicy stories at holyhourpodcast@gmail.com.
Do you feel good?
Yeah, I feel good about all of this.
Oh.
I'm prepared for today.
Fuck yeah.
Been looking forward to this all day.
I love that for both of us.
I've been really tired.
Girl, same.
And when you're tired and you're just doing the same shit every day, you have zero motivation. So yep. I had very low motivation today. And when Mr. Liz came home last week, I was like, tell me about your work day. Like, how was it? And then he's like, well, what do you want to know? And I was like, tell me literally walk me through your day. And then he was like, I just never know what you want to hear about. Because I was like, you don't even tell me like what's going on like throughout your day when you text me. And then I was like, I'm home alone all fucking day doing the same thing. I don't get to see anybody. I want to know the workplace drama.
Tell me all the details.
I want to know when a dog shits on the office.
Was anybody with you in the elevator?
Yeah.
I have to know everything.
Was anyone, you know, downstairs in the gym shower? Because sometimes there's a guy who works in another office who forgets his stuff there. That's interesting.
Very interesting. So, was there a new kind of chewy bar in the kitchen?
Yeah.
There are things also, we need to know, Mr. Liz.
Some of those for me.
Yeah. Most importantly.
We're saving money here.
Yeah. And I love a good chewy bar.
I'm very anti return to office, like forcing people to return to office.
It's just so, it feels so unnecessary.
And that being said, I would like to go into a public place where I could work with coworkers at least like once a week.
Yeah, I've been going into a coffee shop to do some of the freelance work, like with the gal that I'm working with, and It's the best thing in the world. When she proposed,
Mr. Liz
it
was like, does Amelia work from home? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, could you guys work together?
That's a great idea.
Yeah, I was like, huh, I hadn't considered that.
That is a very good
idea.
You
live 10 minutes away from me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to try and I'm going to use my work from home stipend to get a little second monitor connector, because then it'll be way easier for me to go workplaces.
That's a great idea.
You know, I don't love working just because of all of the boring things that I just listed.
Yeah.
But I enjoy it when I'm around another person.
Hell
and
yeah.
My surroundings change. But the thing that always holds me back is like I heavily depend on having a second monitor to like split up my work.
That stops a lot of people from working anywhere but a desk.
It's just once you have one, you can't go back.
I hear that. I did get used to having a second monitor. But then like once the pandemic happened and I started working from couch, WFC, I was like, do I really need a second monitor? And the answer is still yes, but like I've convinced myself I don't. I just work like
like, hunched over. Hunched Do you work on the couch still?
T-Rex arms. Yeah.
Girl.
I prefer it. I know.
It's so uncomfortable.
I just don't like sitting upright. Like, the amount of time that we spend recording this podcast is about as long as I can do. It's such a character flaw. It's really, I don't know how I did it for 8 hours a day before.
Did you ever stand? Do the standing desk?
Yeah, we had them, but I never...
I love doing a stand.
I don't think I really ever took advantage of it. There were some people in the office that exclusively stood. I'm like,
okay,
I get it. You're better than me.
What are you trying to prove?
Okay.
Our friend who stood next to me, or not stood next to me, our desks were next to each other. Sometimes we'd be standing next to each other. But she would try and always stand at her desk, like, I think 2-ish hours of the day. Yikes. So right when she got in, she'd stand.
They say sitting is the new cigarette.
Who is saying that?
Too many people.
Get fucked.
They say it's like one of the worst things you can do for yourself is sit.
Sit down?
Sit all day. Yeah.
Okay, tell that to the people who have to stand at work all day.
Yeah.
And work in service industries.
Right.
No.
No.
That doesn't
But there's apply something to them. About your heart. It's just not good for your heart. I don't know. I haven't read the articles because I don't sit.
Well, listen. Today I saw a hot take from a conservative person that said... The facts are the sun is good for your eyes. So sunglasses are bad for your eyes was the specific take. And I was like, stare at the fucking sun. I don't care.
Yeah. I mean,
believe your dumb thing.
Donald Trump stared at the sun.
During the eclipse. During the eclipse. About that.
It's the one thing they told him not to do.
It's like the only time you shouldn't look at the sun specifically. Anyways. Sometimes I think about Even Stevens' Halloween episode, and everyone's like eyes are they like lose their eyes or something, and they're wearing sunglasses because there's an optometrist at the school. But I think they're like taking everyone's eyeballs out or something. And the older brother who's kind of dumb. Mm-hmm. I love the himbo older brother.
Oh yeah,
that Disney always had.
Yes. Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah.
But he's like, oh. Do you think you could check my eyes? Because every time I look at the sun, my eyes hurt.
I love that shit.
It took me like until I was older to like understand that joke.
I love the himbo brother trope, but specifically how Disney writes those characters is so like their lines are so good. Like mm-hmm. Ethan Kraft was like the best written character in Lizzie McGuire. So good.
I'm thinking about Boy Meets World himbo brother.
Oh yeah,
he started out as like a hot himbo,
yeah,
like kind of like ladies man, and then became so fucking weird.
Did he? I don't remember that.
In the later seasons he's just so weird.
That's so that's
when they go to college. Boy Meets World, when they're in college, that feels like a fan fiction of Boy Meets World.
Damn.
You know what I mean?
Maybe they're going to turn into wolves and start like fucking all over Hogwarts or something.
They're soul bonded.
Yeah, with his knot in his dick or whatever.
You know what? Listen, I have to admit that I have been rereading that one.
I just think about
I've
sometimes.
Been skipping through to the sex scenes.
Like if this is someone's first episode listening to this podcast, they're like, what?
What the fuck did I sign up for?
Did I just hear wolves fucking in Hogwarts and a knot and a penis?
Uh huh.
You did.
You sure did. They're not wolves, okay? They just have wolf-like qualities.
Wow, try telling that to them. Wow, Liz.
I'm not imagining them as wolves, okay? I'm imagining them as people. Hot people, specifically. Sometimes me. You can't read this hot, salacious sex scene and tell me that you're not picturing yourself in that, okay?
I found it. I found the...
I'm like, is this porn?
Yeah, it is. I found the store. I found the one you were talking about.
Oh, you did?
I did. I went on the Dramione subreddit now.
Hell
that
yeah.
I like
I love
know
it
how to use a Reddit. And I found...
A Reddit.
And I found the specific one that you talked about with mm-hmm. the wolves. And... And I was like, you know what? I love Liz and I'm going to support her in her interests. And so I started reading it. I couldn't do it. I couldn't, but I did try. I need you to know that I did.
Thank you.
I did try.
Thank you. What if I sent you did you get to the sex scenes?
No.
Okay. I'm going to send you a screenshot of a sex scene, I'll pick one of the lighter ones. Honestly, they're all pretty aggressive.
Okay, you know what? Don't pick a lighter one.
Just,
I
just want to see what you think when you
wolf
read it.
Wolf balls to the wolf wall. On
if you're imagining them as wolves or like furries, I don't think you're going to enjoy it
for sure.
I would not enjoy it
for sure. However, like the idea of the Omegaverse like informing this tale.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it very difficult for me to not think of them like being those like weird TikTok families that like think that they're wolves. You know what I mean? Do you
and
see what I mean?
Like licking each other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. The licking is a little like, I'm like, okay, let's tone it down.
Yeah.
As I've been rereading some of these scenes and just like the fun parts of the plot, I skip past all the drama. I'm like, whatever, I've already read this. The thing that stands out to me that I think is so fucking hilarious is just that, like, McGonagall has, like, a little twinkle in her eye about the whole thing. And she's like, I know you guys are soulmates, so I'm going to let this one slide.
Is McGonagall, like, a pimp?
No. Definitely not. She's just, like, trying to make sure, like, Hermione doesn't get, like, taken advantage of.
Sounds like a pimp. Sounds a lot like a pimp.
No one's getting paid here, okay?
They're getting paid in love and experience.
They're getting paid in sex.
Yeah.
Well, so I guess she is like a pimp.
I rest my case.
I am curious, but I'm like, how would McGonagall profit off of that, I guess? You know? She's just like, she has all of the information and there's a bunch of miscommunication, but she is aware that they're like supposed to be soulmates, just kind of based on like little hints that she gives. And I'm just like, the fact that she's like, you kids go out and fuck wherever you want.
That's it.
It's okay because you're soulmates.
How old are they in this story?
Unfortunately, they are 18, but I just imagine.
Well, they're 18.
On the Dramini subreddit, it says, like, does anyone else just pretend they're in college? And in my head, I'm like, I don't even pretend they're in college. I pretend they're fully grown adults with jobs.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to think about that.
No. No.
I just pretend that, you know, maybe they're getting their, like, their doctorates.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're like 28 and up.
Honestly, it's just like a YN, but like a YAA. Your age?
Your age. Yeah.
Yeah. See, I'm like hip in the culture.
Yeah.
Look at me.
I just.
Coining new terms.
I cannot imagine this with high school kids. It's kind of like Euphoria. I'm like, they're my fucking age. Okay.
Can we talk about like Euphoria real quick?
Yes.
Well, not Euphoria. Nate Jacobs, specifically.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name?
His real name?
Yeah. Did you watch...
Jacob Elordi.
Did you watch Saltburn?
No. I need to.
Like, he...
I know the whole plot of Saltburn.
This is going to be an unpopular opinion. Like, I am confused, like, what the hype is with him. Like...
He's hot.
No, but, like, is he, though? Like... Is he or is he just tall?
That is like the biggest philosophical question of our time.
Yeah.
Is he hot or is he just tall?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Because like if you look up any picture of him, he looks like you could just see him like working at any gas station. And
I think he's genuinely hot.
Okay, that's fine.
I'm thinking about his bone structure and I'm like attractive. And his hands are big.
Yeah.
I like big hands.
I mean, he's large.
And I cannot lie.
But like that.
You don't need to be a big guy to have big hands. You know?
That's true.
But when the hands are big, it's just there's something that feels so nice.
Yeah. No, that's true.
When the big hands are holding you.
He just does it. He's just so like. I see all these people just like losing their goddamn minds over this man.
Yeah, it's a bit much.
And I'm like, be fucking for real. Like, this guy. But I just don't understand. But also, you know, I have been attracted to some questionable characters. So who am I to talk?
Who amongst us hasn't?
Like, I really love Post Malone.
I mean, he seems like a lovely man.
Yes. And that makes him very sexy to me.
Mm-hmm.
But if I saw him on the street and did not know him as a person, I'd be like, what? Is he good? You know, is that man okay? What's going on with that man?
Post Malone?
Yeah. that.
Yeah, that's true.
Those tattoos are new.
When you have face tattoos, there's always a part of you that's like, are they okay?
Yeah. Like, are you good? Are you that currently going hurt. Through something, or have you been through something? Because it's one or the other.
Probably both.
Yeah. Who amongst us hasn't? Being a human is just going through something all the time.
That's so true.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I have two very small topics. So before we dump into your topics, because you have like conversation starters, yeah?
Uh-huh. I think so.
I had a girls' night on Saturday, and two things came up in which the entire room said,
had something to say.
Everybody was like, talk about this on the podcast. And the first one, which is the quickest one, is
a quickie.
Two of the girls there had hooked up with twins, but like one of each.
Amazing. Okay.
Like one of them hooked up with twin A and one of them hooked up with twin B, and they were like, is there a word for that, like what we are to each other for fucking twins? And we what do you think it would be called? On the fly.
Tunnel sister-in-laws.
Is tunnel sisters
when you fuck the same guy?
Okay. Tunnel sister-in-laws. I like that.
Did they compare notes?
Yeah, which brings me to my second topic.
Okay. I mean, a little questionable, but that's what people want to know.
Yeah. Oh, like comparing notes?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so they didn't really compare notes so much as I did get a tale about some... My ex used to do this thing that he read in some fucking men's journal that like women love, which is like when you're going down on them, humming because of the vibration. And so one of the girls was saying that
they just start humming the Wolf of Wall Street. That is that behavior. Like, I read in Men's Journal.
Yeah. Well, this is how I become a millionaire.
I do have to say, you know, progressive to be like, I read this thing about how to please you even more, so I'm going
to
try it.
But it's just so standard to like read that and then just take it as fact, you know? Uh-huh. Like, why? But what this guy would do.
So your ex would actually do that?
Yeah, but like he would do other things with his tongue. My friend who hooked up with one of the twins.
Would he hum a song?
Say, no, he would just like, like a vibrator.
Home.
Yeah.
Home. He's just meditating in that pussy.
It was beautiful. It's fucking really reach nirvana, if you know what I mean.
Hey! Continue. So one of the twins
one
is
of the
humming
twins,
at this
but he wouldn't
vagina.
Do and he would just go down there and just hum. He wouldn't like use his tongue. He would just like put his mouth against her vagina and just and didn't do anything else. Hello?
I would tell everybody about that.
Yep.
Yeah. And here we are. You're telling me right now.
Here we are. She was like, I was like, I have to bring this up on the podcast. That's what happened. And it makes me sad.
I feel like people should, I want people to feel empowered to like give feedback about Absolutely. What they like.
Yeah.
Like, I'd be like, what is that?
Yeah.
Little thing that you're doing.
So what's
it's so creative.
Hi, question.
And that's something I love about you is just how creative you are.
Yeah.
It's so cute. That being said,
what song is that?
Are you open to not?
Yeah.
Are you open to not? Yeah, the note is to not.
Yeah.
And not like a knot in your penis. I'm tying it back
much like Dramione.
The Omegaverse.
The Omegaverse, Dramione.
That I've never heard of that.
The issue with, like, I understand the impulse to just be like, oh my God, that was so good, and just move on, because I would do that shit all the fucking time, because it's like, this is not my job to like make you good at what you're doing. But also, he's gonna keep doing that to the next girl that he goes down on.
Because someone is faking it.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And that's how the that Bible was written.
Yeah. Yep. Someone was faking it.
We know that you fucked someone, Mary. It's okay.
Girly pop.
Girl.
Who are you lying to?
Yeah, that is not God's baby unless God is the guy down the street.
We're all God's children, and that was her point.
Which makes nuns incestuous. Because if we're all God's children, then we're all Jesus's siblings, and that means that nuns are married to their brother. Thank you.
Wait.
For attending my TED talk, because nuns are like, their whole thing is that they're married to Jesus.
Married?
Yeah.
I thought it was to like follow in his footsteps.
No, they're like all like they're like married to Jesus.
I don't know if I've ever told you this. My Nana, when she had like hospice help, I don't know what that you would call it, like just an additional like nurse helping my mom and her siblings with stuff.
Okay.
Anyways, before my mom had met her, she told my mom, I think she used to be a nun. And then my mom finally met her and she was like, she's just like a butch lesbian.
Oh my God. What?
I love that that's like my Nana's like exposure to lesbians is nuns. Because they are. There are many women who are lesbians who are nuns.
100%. Yeah.
And maybe they're not out.
What a good way to.
It's just like.
Right. What a good way to not have to ever worry about fucking a man.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't we all kind of aspiring nuns at the end of the day? Just kidding. Just kidding. I'm like in a relationship with a very loving man. And I still have so much manslander. He gets it.
Yeah.
He's down with the cause.
It's about specific people.
Yeah.
Not the ones that we like.
Right.
Not the normal ones.
Right.
I'm still of the mindset that most men are normal. I'm of the mindset that most people are normal. But there are still really fucking weird people.
It's the loud minority.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's why it just feels like there's so many of
like, we're the silent majority. No.
No.
You're not.
Mm-mm. No. But if I would love if you were silent.
Okay, so I have a couple of fun topics for you that I am just excited to talk about. So the first one is DoxyPep. Have you heard of that?
No.
It's a medication and it's like the day after pill for STIs, essentially.
No fucking way.
Before you get too excited, it's really only effective for men who have sex with other men or trans women.
Okay.
But that's good for them.
Yeah.
That's great news for them.
Yeah.
But it is also, what's it called? An antibiotic. So it's not something that you would want to take long term. But I think it's just like one of those things if you just like had a crazy night out and you're like, oh, I need to cross my T's and dot my I's. I'm just going to pop this pill.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's very promising that they.
Yeah. And it's the effectiveness is 65-70% effective and it reduces the risk of chlamydia, gonorrhea and syphilis.
Love that.
Yeah. So I thought that was really like progressive and cool. They've done studies on women and cis men and they weren't effective at all. So bummer.
Well, maybe one day, because that is promising. That's nice that there's like there are what is 70% effectiveness.
You don't want to like rely on this, obviously.
Yeah,
but
it's a nice barrier.
Yeah, I think it's like nice peace of mind to have. So get out there, guys.
Yes,
have protected sex. But if there's an accident that occurs,
take some DoxyPep.
Mm-hmm. Ask your doctor.
Not sponsored.
And I know, was it last episode we were talking about male birth control?
Uh huh.
Well. There's a new one.
Oh.
It's being referred to as the male IUD. It's called Adam, like Adam and Eve. Lame. And it's there's a few components I need to tell you.
Love
so
it.
I'll start with just how it works.
Okay.
They put a hydrogel in the vas deferens, which is like where the sperm comes out, mm-hmm. so it blocks it, and then your body will like naturally absorb the sperm, because it just dies off and then you absorb it.
Uh-huh.
So there's not a risk there. It doesn't affect ejaculation or sensation at all.
Love
so that's awesome. And then it is designed to last at least a year.
Wow.
And it naturally degrades. So you would like go in after like around a year and they would check it with like an ultrasound tool to see like if you need to get re-upped on it.
What the fuck?
They're doing trials in Australia only right now, but you can sign up like to be part of like clinical trials in other countries when they like start testing in other countries.
Wow.
And this is going to piss you off.
I'm already pissed.
It is already pre-approved to have local anesthesia.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No.
The thing that I was pissed off about before you even told me that was how easy it sounds.
Yeah. And it's non-hormonal. Non-hormonal,
and you don't have to get it removed.
Easy.
That's like one of the worst parts of having an IUD is like the removal and reinsertion.
Well, and like the hormonal side effects are awful. I mean, at least for me when I had an IUD. And when I got my IUD put in, I almost passed out.
Yeah, it's
this
awful.
This isn't my first time talking about this. I almost fainted.
Yeah.
And then my doctor looked at me like I was fucking insane.
No, it's the worst pain.
And I was like, are you kidding me right now?
That's crazy.
It's like...
That they're...
Like when you're giving birth, at least your like cervix opens up. Your body is opening up because that is what it is designed to do.
Yeah.
But when you're shoving something in there mm-hmm. and it's not prepared or in a place to be doing that naturally, it's going to fucking hurt.
Yeah.
If you've ever had your cervix hit like while having sex or something.
Not a good feeling.
Oh my God. It is a painful experience.
Yeah.
Like... First of all, having an IUD inserted, I can guarantee it feels a million times worse than being kicked in the balls. And then I would say having your cervix hit probably feels like a solid swift kick in the balls.
Oh, it's
so
awful. It's like a nauseating pain.
Yes. Yeah.
Ugh.
And the way it sits there for so long. Ugh. There have been times where I've had to get a heating pad and just like curl up for a couple hours.
That is so annoying.
I know. I'm like, how is this pre-approved for local anesthetic? But then like if you are getting an IUD inserted, you have to fight tooth and nail for a local anesthetic and for you could get a cervical guard.
Yeah.
To help even more.
Yeah.
And then they're like just try and gaslight you.
Mm-hmm.
And like I was listening to Daniel Tosh's podcast over the weekend, and he was talking about how he was complaining about his cold, and then his wife was like, oh, I'm sure it's so much worse than the cold that we had last week. because he's like I need to go to the hospital, and she's like he was like, it's like the man flu is what they call it.
Yeah.
And he's like, she's not wrong. But he was saying like women have a higher pain tolerance. And he genuinely believes that. And I think I believe that.
Yeah,
because
I think we have to.
Yeah, when you have your period every month, it is painful.
Yeah.
But you like get used to it.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. But also like our bodies are like engineered to have babies, which is a painful experience. So it makes sense that we would have evolved to be able to handle pain.
Exactly.
More, yeah.
So then that's what you're like kind of gaslit into, is just like, well, women have a higher pain tolerance because of this thing, so it should be fine to just like medically abuse them.
Yeah. Which is insane.
So frustrating.
That's insane.
I think I mentioned this to you. I had also listened to like a true crime podcast called The Retrievals. And it's like a short, I think maybe 5-episode series, where it's a fertility treatment center at
Columbia.
Columbia, because I had also listened to another one from Harvard, but this one was Columbia specifically. And one of the fertility treatment nurses was stealing anesthetic for like people who are doing egg retrievals to do IVF, or, you know, have their eggs frozen. All of the women who were interviewed were doing IVF, but she was stealing anesthetic and replacing it with saline.
What the fuck?
Like, it's an incredibly painful and like physically demanding experience. I'm surprised these women are even awake for it.
I know.
They should absolutely be put under.
Mm-hmm.
And they finally obviously catch this woman who has been stealing all kinds of painkillers over, she alleges, 6 months, but it had to have been for several years.
Holy shit.
And then she got a pretty easy sentence because she was like, my ex-husband is horrible and abusive, so if I am like in prison, I can't take care of my kids and there's no one to protect them. And then the judge and everyone is like, that's so sad. And they just like, and honestly, it's like very white privilege too.
I was about to say, she white?
Yeah, she's white, to no one's surprise. So she gets like a super light sentence for medically abusing and traumatizing these women. And the amount of people who were gaslighting these women into believing it was just them. And like, this is how it's supposed to feel.
It's so disappointing.
And they're like, this is the max we can give you. And she's like, they're like, I'm fully lucid.
Yeah.
I am completely sober. I feel everything. And for those of you who don't know, like, what IVF treatment is, it's, you would do like, you would have your eggs retrieved. So you have to already be taking a bunch of hormones.
Yeah.
You have to be shooting them into your stomach, which is crazy in itself, to like then retrieve as many eggs as possible. So they're scraping these eggs out of you during your ovulation. It is just, oh God, even just thinking about it makes me like twinge a little bit.
It's just, it's insane to me that there aren't checks in place to make sure that people can't do that, like to steal drugs, because like you would think that there would be like timestamps on like when everybody would go into the fridge.
Well, that was another thing too, is like they were just like lax about all of this stuff.
It freaks me out how like there are so many things that they just kind of like are whatever about until there's like a disaster happening, like the fucking wall flying off of an Alaska Airlines flight, because like they knew that there was a pressure issue with that plane, but they were like, we just won't fly it over the water and that'll be okay. And then a fucking the wall blew out, and it's like, how are we fucking with people's well-being?
Yeah.
For just to like, why are we cutting corners on these things?
Oh yeah,
it's the same thing with like hospitals. It's like, don't cut corners, because then you it takes one bad apple coming in there and being like, I want to steal these drugs
and
to
fuck
up a lot of
people's
lives. Yeah,
to be honest, I bet she probably could have just taken it and not like replaced it with saline.
Oh, well.
I'm like, just at that point, just take it instead of robbing these women of like anesthesia. And then she got her nurse's license like re-admitted or like she was allowed to go back, essentially.
What the fuck?
I know. And then I think she withdrew. So
good.
She probably, I think they caught her again. Wherever she ended up working next. And then there's no way to like verify that. But it's likely that they were like, you either need to like give up your nurse's license or like, this is going to be a scene. So she volunteered it.
Well, good.
So, which indicates she probably relapsed.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
It's I just...
Oh, and the most fucked up part is this woman also had IVF. Her children exist because of IVF. So she had been through this entire fucking process and held the hands of these women while knowing that they were not being medically treated correctly and like holding their hands, looking them in the eye while they're having their eggs scraped out of their body. And the other like true crime podcast that I had listened to, I think that one was the Harvard one. One was Harvard and one was Columbia. So it's hard to remember which was which. But it was about a gynecologist who had been sexually assaulting women for like 20 fucking years. Mm-hmm. And there were so many different complaints about this man. No one did anything. And then finally, like, one woman, she had went in and, like, after she had given birth and having, like, everything checked in on and making sure she's, like, healing okay and whatever. And then everything's all wrapped up. And then he's like, oh, actually, I forgot to check one thing, like, once the nurse had left. And then she's like, okay, that's fucking weird. Like, I'm already dressed. So then she, like, gets back on the table in the stirrups and he licks her vagina, and she was like,
what the fuck?
Yeah, I think she like reacted, I can't remember what she said, and then he seemed like surprised, like he got caught.
What the fuck? Of course he what
he was like, oh,
why would?
And then she called her husband and she's hysterical, and then her husband calls the police.
Good.
And then they like take him into custody, and he calls her and leaves her a voicemail, and he's like, I think there was like a misunderstanding. And then that was just kind of the tip of the iceberg of all of these stories that started unraveling of all of these women he had sexually assaulted. And a lot of them like didn't like want to come forward, obviously. Like,
yeah,
also a lot of people didn't know, because I think it was Harvard, they didn't send out a letter to anybody. They didn't notify any of his patients of this thing occurring. And I something ended up happening where he like wasn't really held accountable. Like, he just had his like medical license revoked, but he didn't have any prison time. But one of the women who was one of his victims is Andrew Yang's wife.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, and that was like, Harvard essentially wrote to her like a threatening letter of like, if you come forward, like, we know who you are. They implied that they knew that she, because she remained an anonymous person in this first lawsuit. And then she is the one who kind of like brought everything to light. Like, all of these women had been fighting tooth and nail for justice after being sexually assaulted by this man. A doctor that they trust.
It's so disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
It's the amount, like, it's so painfully clear how HR departments are for the company and not for the people. We've been saying that, but like in huge cases like that with like institutions like Harvard, like, and then also bringing it on to like a public stage with like threatening a politician's wife.
Yeah.
Like, in writing, I would assume, like, mm-hmm. that to have a paper trail like that is bonkers to
and
me.
And the lawyer that was helping these women is, like, small town lawyer. Just, like, hell a yeah. regular guy, like, working his ass off on this case.
Fuck yeah.
And what tied it all together was this woman who was living in Utah. She had moved from the East Coast to Utah with her husband. So Evelyn Yang's doing this interview where she planned to come forward and tell this story about this doctor and like make it very public. And she was like very afraid of like being criticized yeah. for this.
Which is also crazy. That's like a very real thing that women have to worry about.
Affecting her husband's campaign.
Yeah.
But it was it was very well received for the most part. She was very supported. But anyways, this interview is happening on TV. And then this guy says to his wife, who at this point in her life, I think was in her like 60s. He's like, that sounds like the doctor you had. And then she was like,
wow.
They're watching. And then it was the same fucking doctor. And she's like, I cannot believe that he continued to, she was like, I feel horrible because he continued to assault these women. And she's like, I wrote a letter. And then she kept everything. Her and her husband are like hoarders, keeps everything, old computers, every old document. She used to be a writer, so she kept every single thing she wrote, she had written. And then she like lets this lawyer know, like, this is, you know, I might have proof that I had written to them with a complaint in the past, because they're like, we've never received a complaint. And she had their response in writing. So he flies.
Responded?
Yeah.
Oh, yikes.
He flies to Utah and they like go through tons of boxes. They spend hours going through these boxes and finally they find one. They find the letter and they're just like cheering and crying. And that was the piece that brought it all together to be able to hold Harvard and this man accountable.
Wow.
So that's a TLDR. I definitely butchered a lot of it, but I highly recommend listening to both of those because, I mean, you're going to be very upset.
This is a case.
Angry.
This is a case for hoarding.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
Exactly.
This is just a pro hoarding podcast.
Just be very good at note taking.
Yeah. No, but I love hearing stories about people like rallying together to take down something that's so evil.
Oh yeah. I was like bawling listening to both of them too, because I was just like, these fucking women like came together and supported each other. And like, even when this giant institution was threatening them, they like came together, they banded together to try and support each other.
Yeah.
And saw some justice. They deserved way more earlier on, but and then it's just the investigative journalism behind this is like really incredible work. So
yeah,
I think it deserves to be listened to if you guys are interested.
While you were talking, three things popped into my head. Did you ever watch the docuseries Our Father?
Mm-mm.
About the, it was a fertility doctor that was putting his own sperm in his patients.
Oh, I heard about this.
Yeah. And like all of these people started realizing that they were siblings. Cause they, like when the DNA, like ancestry was becoming popular, people were realizing like they didn't share DNA with their dads or who they thought was their dads.
Yeah. So were these women like doing like IVF or like
artificial insemination? Yeah. And he was using his own sperm. He's dead now, looking up to us from hell. But
what a horrible person.
Yeah. And he was on trial a few times and got away with it. Like he got away with
what the fuck is wrong with people?
Horrible. You should. And that's another case of
institutions.
Like, you should be able to trust these people.
Yes. Like, I just can't imagine like talking to any normal person who would be like, oh, well, that's a bummer.
Yeah.
I think every normal human being, if you told them this story, would be like,
what the actual fuck? Yeah. It's so fucked up. It's so violating.
And then you're like, how are these, like, why are we letting these medical institutions get away with shit?
Yeah.
I'm like, so institutions with a lot of money.
Yeah.
Fucking corrupt.
The best lawyers. That's really what it boils down to. Because they take advantage of people that can't afford like the best lawyers that money can buy. And they end up either like settling out of court where nobody ever hears about it, or they threaten these people into oblivion, which is stupid.
It's atrocious.
It really is. The second thing that I was thinking about, which is not about medical, but about people that you should be able to trust dropping the ball. I watched the most infuriating body cam footage yesterday of this woman. She's 20. She gets pulled over in a car that they pulled over expecting to find a man, like a big man with tattoos, driving the car, and they pulled it over and it was this little 20-year-old woman driving it. And she was drugged out of her mind. Like, she was like very high and she was like crying and like saying like, please don't sell me, and was like telling them that she's being trafficked. Like, basically, like in so few words, she's like, I came all the way here from Ohio. Like, it's the only place that they can bring girls like me and get away with it. Like, she was like saying all this shit, and like the cops were like, all right, sweetheart, and like just ignored it. But then they brought her to the hospital because she got in a car accident. That's why they ended up pulling her over. Uh-huh. Just like to check that she was okay. And she was screaming and crying and being like, don't put me in there. Like, they're going to give me back to them. Like, don't bring me in there. And they were like, oh, well, she's crazy. Like, and it was like all of
female hysteria. Am I right?
All of the comments on this were like, how did they ignore all of this? Like,
yeah. Aren't you supposed to like serve and protect?
Yeah. You're not doing any of that.
Honestly, this is why I just like, I don't even believe in police reform. I think it should just be abolished. How are you supposed to reform this institution that has historically only hurt people?
They are not equipped to handle so much of the shit that they get called for.
Yeah.
Like rapes. They don't do anything with sexual assault really at all because they don't know how to handle it.
They should be replaced by, like, first of all, people who can actually like medically help, like EMTs.
Yeah.
And I think it's disgusting that like EMTs and ambulances are privatized, so they get paid shit money.
Yeah.
And they are saving lives every single day.
It's ridiculous.
So I think like police can be easily replaced by EMTs, social workers, mental health professionals.
In this video, the body cam footage, at one part of the video, this woman walks up and she was like, hi, I was just tracking my friend coming here from a family function. And she was obviously working for the pimp and like making sure that she wasn't like giving information to the police. And the girl that they had pulled over was in the cop car, like screaming at the top of her lungs, trying to get the cop's attention, because this woman was very clearly working for her pimp. And they just were like ignoring her. And it's just like, what training did you receive to handle any of this? Very like mainstream issue of human trafficking. Yeah. Like
there are police departments with a specific like department of people working on sex traffic work in general.
Right. Yeah.
How could you not?
And the thing, like, obviously it's like, oh, it's so much easier from like the comfort of your couch, but like immediately right when they pulled her over, I was like, oh, this woman is driving her pimp's car. That's why they tried to find, that's why it was another person that they expected to be driving it, and she's saying that she's being trafficked, like, and I have
she's
no training.
Literally asking for help.
Yep.
Yeah,
like, it's just
there are some things that you just simply do not need training for, and like, that's negligence.
Yeah. It's just infuriating.
So they either need like way more training or just to be like completely replaced.
Yeah.
But I just don't really think that it's possible to reform an institution like that.
They also they're just one big gang. They're all protecting each other. They all are like, you know, doing whatever they can so that one another all keeps their jobs. So
I would love to believe that the police do shit that actually helps people. Change my mind, please.
It's not even like a few bad apples. It's like a few good apples.
Yes. Isn't that appalling?
Fucked up. Yeah.
I remember talking to one of our friends and he was like, has a cop ever helped you? Like, actually? And then I was like, well, I mean, one time when I was pulled over, like, he gave me a parking ticket instead of a speeding ticket because it would have been way more expensive. And he's like, he still inconvenienced you though.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's true, actually.
I have not seen, whenever I see a video of a cop doing something good, like genuinely good, not like showboaty good, but like there was a video of this little boy that got electrocuted on a live wire that was down, and the cop like put himself in danger of getting electrocuted to like pull this kid out. And like, I was like, the fact that I was so shocked and like amazed by this person when it's their job to protect people is a sign.
Yeah.
That it just does not happen enough.
We all saw what the cops did like at that school shooting.
Oh my God.
They're just like, damn, that's crazy.
Yeah.
They're like, aren't you supposed to be the good guys with the guns?
Uh-huh.
Isn't that your whole argument?
And then like 2 weeks later, Ted Cruz was like, we just need more cops. And it's like, you emptied
you
out.
You had a bunch
like,
of them there.
Three different departments. Like three different areas of Texas, like emptied into the school and nobody did. The issue isn't not enough cops.
I think you need to have a degree to be a cop. I think you need to go to like 6 to 8 years of school the same way you do to be a doctor if you want to be a police officer. They're just hiring these fucking like 18-year-old dipshits.
Yeah.
Who then inherit this like big fish, little pond attitude.
Yeah.
Anyways, I could complain about cops all day.
What
I wanted to ask you, this is back to the male birth control
situation.
When I was telling Mr. Liz about it, I have such like little faith that this would be approved and provided in America. And I mean, I don't know how many people like are aware of this, but like if Trump is reelected, which
terrifying thought,
it's not unlikely,
mm-hmm.
which is awful. He's being heavily funded and influenced by something called Project 2025.
Oh no.
Which is run by an extremist like alt-right group called what is it? I wrote it down.
But it's some dumb fucking name.
The Heritage Foundation.
Stupid name.
And that's what The Handmaid's Tale is based off of, is this group of people. Yeah. And they just have a lot of like extremist things that they want to change. And in his last what's it called?
Fucking speech. Rally.
No, it was like reign of election. What is it?
Term?
Yeah.
Reign. That's honestly reign. Reign is right.
In his last term, he like had done like 75. He had implemented like 75% of the requests that they demanded. I know. And I just like, I know that other people like us are so frustrated with, first of all, the two-party group, which we were warned would fail. And everyone's like, that's a later problem.
By George Washington.
Yeah, like the eons original.
Ago. Yeah.
The original.
Fucking 1700s.
So, but it's just like the Republicans do the shitty things that they say they're going to do.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Like, why are we
Joe
shocked?
Biden was just like, yeah, I'm going to cancel student debt. And he didn't even fucking do that. And then they're like, oh, no.
Yeah.
This is bad.
We.
And you're like, get off Twitter. Get off Twitter and like be proactive.
That's
I don't
the
know.
Thing.
How are Republicans doing all of this shit and you've done nothing?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like that we Democrats are too nice. And a lot of it is about like all just being like loving each other and accepting each other for who we are, which is great on paper, you know, mm-hmm. and it absolutely should happen and is not happening nearly enough. But like there are a lot of young Democrats that are getting older Democrats away from the cause because of the issues that they're focusing on. Like they're like, oh, I don't want to be like, yikes, like that's they're being crazy, like
with their blue hair and their tattoos,
can't keep up with all the pronouns. And then like there's like Republicans where there's like Trump voters that are like fucking bananas, bonkers, insane. And then there's Republicans that aren't swayed away from the party because Trump voters are almost like their own sect, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
But like the Democratic voters that are like really into like making sure everybody feels included is like a full party thing, which is making people be like, I don't know, I don't really identify with that.
It's scary.
It's so scary.
I want to shake everybody and be like, this isn't working.
Yeah, I know. And everybody knows it's
put
not.
Put all of that aside, okay? With, like, Project 2025 in place, like, the first thing that's going to go is, like, women's reproductive rights. Like, Roe versus Wade was already overturned.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how, like... do you remember when that happened? Like, what you were doing and how you felt?
I thought it was a lie. I was on TikTok live when it happened, and
oh
people were like, how do you feel about the news? And I was like, what the fuck is going on?
What news? I've been on TikTok Live.
Yeah, what were you doing?
I was with Mr. Liz. Like, we were watching something. We might have been watching The Bachelor. And then I just started, like, bawling on the couch.
Yeah, it was a dark day.
I mean, we're lucky we live in Seattle, but also, like, now is the time to start ordering abortion pills. Mm-hmm. Because, like, the fact that that one woman, like, was even taken to court for she had a miscarriage in her home and like flushed it. I just what
it's insane to me that there are people that don't understand how backward everything is becoming. We're moving backward in time. Well,
and then there's the other woman who needed a medically induced abortion because the fetus was inviolable, like, is already dead. I might be wrong. But she for sure would have died.
Yeah.
So, and then she was like, I'm making this public because, like, I need to fight for other people's rights.
Yeah.
She put herself on the front lines to try and help other women.
Yeah.
Who are going to be in the same position. And I don't know. That's like the first thing that's going to go. So then I'm also just like, okay, there's a non-hormonal effective birth control for men.
Mm-hmm.
And the likelihood that that's even going to be allowed here.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
There's something insidious about the Heritage Foundation and what they want, and it literally is like The Handmaid's Tale.
I mean,
it's horrifying.
They don't give a fuck about women. They just, like,
they don't give a fuck about anyone who isn't a billionaire.
Yeah.
I'm gonna put on my tinfoil hat and, like, these groups are being funded by billionaires.
Mm-hmm.
They only care about money.
Mm-hmm.
And if they take away your ability to have an abortion or even have access to birth control, that's going to be next.
Yeah.
Abortion first, birth control's next.
Mm-hmm.
You are not going to have any birth control.
Yeah. Which is fucking
so
horrifying.
Being forced to have children forces like a labor market.
Uh-huh.
Like, they want people to remain poor.
Yeah.
Because then they will have people who will have to work for them.
Yeah.
And then they'll still sell you the idea that you just pull yourself up by your bootstraps because that's what this billionaire did.
Yeah.
That's not what they fucking did.
It's crazy to me that we've been going through this kind of thing as a country for forever.
So it's
like,
just like
we learned
ridiculous.
Did we learn nothing from like redlining? Like,
yeah,
we can't, as a country, we cannot learn because there are too many people that are just out for their own interests. And those people are the ones that are making decisions. It's horrifying.
Mm-hmm.
It's scary. Men, they don't give a fuck about women. They don't give a fuck about the baby once it's born.
No.
At all. Which, I mean, if you need evidence, just look at literally everything else that they are voting on.
Yeah.
It's so scary.
Well,
and exhausting.
I saw something that was like, it is wild to be alive during a time where a group of people will force you to have a child, and they like they're pro-life and they still will vote on things that don't protect children from being shot in school.
Right.
So like you don't give a fuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are so many other things you should be doing to prove that you do give a fuck.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
First of all, paying teachers more. But another tinfoil hat theory I have is that they just don't want people to be educated.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want people to be educated. They don't want them, like, you're militarized when you're in school because you are learning to follow a work schedule.
Yeah.
Essentially. And to be obedient.
The fact that everyone has to stand up and say the Pledge of Allegiance every day is such a scary thing.
It's insane.
Yeah.
I forgot we did that.
Isn't that a scary thing to think about? Like, everybody knows the Pledge of Allegiance and they, you had to do it every single day
memorize
with
it.
Your hand over your heart.
I think as a Catholic, I was like, this is a Catholic thing.
Yeah.
I have to memorize something that I don't understand or give a fuck about.
Bring my rosary for this?
Yeah.
What is this? Shift. Quick shift.
Yeah. This conversation really derailed.
It really did.
I wasn't planning on, you know, having a speech about... There was a whole other topic I didn't even get to.
Oh, well, small topic, since mm-hmm. today was the day that we're recording was the day that the Oscar noms came out and Greta Gerwig and Margot Robbie got snubbed.
I saw that.
Ryan Gosling got nominated.
Like, did they even get the point?
America Ferreira. Right. No.
Did you get the point? Like,
did you watch it?
And the fact that Barbie was nominated for Best Movie, but like Greta Gerwig and Margot Robbie and America Ferrera were not.
Yeah, right. I'm pretty sure America Ferrera was.
Oh, she was.
I think she was. But like, yeah, it's
ridiculous.
And everybody's mad about it. Like,
this needs to be the year of the girl. I hope that people listening to this are amped up enough by the end to just keep... I want to give up so badly, but like, don't.
Yeah. It's the year of the girl.
We need to rally.
Yeah. I feel like the theme of this episode, though, has been like women supporting each other because nobody else will.
Yeah.
Like,
I would agree with that.
Right. Like the woman that's like, you know, she needs like an emergency abortion. And so she's putting herself on the front lines to spread awareness for other women. The gynecologist at Columbia or Harvard, like, it's just there. All we have is each other. So
I constantly think about this, like how women are forced into this submissive role in a patriarchy, because that's what patriarchy is.
Yeah.
And just, I want women to recognize the power that they do have.
Mm-hmm.
You have so much power, especially like the ability to have children. That is why the right and the patriarchy are so fucking afraid of you having autonomy over your own body.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are the decision maker.
Yeah.
You are the thing that everyone needs and is relying on for a future.
Mm-hmm.
And to them, a labor market. Like,
yeah.
I just, like, you have so much power.
Yeah.
And you should just like recognize that, like, you are everything. Like, you're the reason.
Yeah.
And that's also another reason, like, you shouldn't be wasting your time with some dickhead.
Yeah. Like, dump him.
Yeah, he's a fucking idiot. You are so powerful and you don't even recognize it. And I just want, like, that is like what I mean when I mean like 2024 is the year of the girl. And I really want it to be, you know,
yeah.
I just want other people to recognize how much power they have and how powerful they are and can be.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It's like you have the ability to have children. That's fucking insane. You make a whole person.
What we're able to do with our bodies as women, and we're treated as such like weak little creatures.
Well, and then even trans women, like I see so much more outrage about trans women existing than trans men,
mm-hmm.
because it's so easy to dismiss like, oh, well, trans men are just tomboys.
Yep.
Who, like, didn't grow up. It's just a phase. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's not as appalling. Like, it's appalling to them to be born a man and want to transition to being a woman.
Mm-hmm.
That is embarrassing to them. That's, like, just so egregious and disgusting because they don't respect women. They don't care about them.
Yeah.
So just, like, the fact that you are born male
yeah.
and you want to transition to being a woman, like is appalling, like,
there
to them.
Must be something wrong with
and you.
You
know what I have also and we've recorded for
a while
longer than usual, something that I have been thinking about a lot that I was talking to Mr. Liz about. I was like, what is kind of wild to me is how men have this performative disgust of women's interests. It's performative in front of women exclusively.
Yeah.
Like men aren't going to get together and be like, I fucking hate Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Like, they're doing it specifically in front of women to make you feel bad and ashamed and embarrassed of the things that you care about, because they want to make sure you know it's embarrassing and belittling to be a woman. Mm-hmm. Like,
fuck. That's such a good point.
Well, and he was the one who I was like, why do they do that? And he was like, because they don't respect women and they want you to like feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
And it is really reassuring to have a man in my life who I'm in a relationship with who like is going to advocate for me.
Absolutely.
And can recognize these things.
Yeah. I mean, too often, like, there are just things that are spoken about that are, like, female-coded, that are, like, seen as weak, like, mm-hmm. like running like a girl.
Yeah.
Or screaming like a girl. Like, just all of these things that are, like, negatively connotated.
You do not understand women's rage if that's what you think it's like.
Mm-hmm.
I describe feminine rage as something that starts as a simmer and turns into a rolling boil.
Mm-hmm.
It's not this petulant outburst.
Yeah.
Is this growing heat inside of you.
Yeah.
And at any moment you feel like it's going to break you.
Yeah.
That's what feminine rage feels like.
Mm-hmm.
I also think it's really frustrating that men who do support women, other men are like, you're just white knighting.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yes.
I'm like, no, actually.
Yeah.
A lot of people, they don't do things to appease women and to just like try and like get laid.
Yeah. I mean, they'll just do whatever they can to explain away somebody trying
to
support.
Why are you so mad about that? Why are you so mad that another man like cares about the woman that he is with?
Well, it's because
or like his sister or his mom.
It is threatening the like idea that like men are the only ones that matter.
Yeah.
You know, when they have other men being like, oh, actually, no, we aren't the only ones that matter. It's scary for
them.
And
it's another like example of performative disgust.
Yeah.
Like, you're only doing this because other women can see it. You're only trying to make this other man feel like less of a man.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. It's because they don't feel like men themselves. And so they have to bring down.
I don't know. And I would love to be able to get to the root of that. And then it's just like the men who are also up in arms about that are like up in arms about like the male suicide rate. And it's like, you're the one with the ideology who is facilitating that in the first place.
Yeah.
You just like settle down a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Use your noggin.
Back to last episode. It's not that serious.
It's just really not that serious.
I don't know. This has been a heated
episode. I know. I'm so tired now, dude. This has been an exhausting conversation.
I don't know if I got everyone else as amped up as I.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. We
love you. Our children. That one was creative.
That was honestly,
I love it.
Beautiful. I feel inspired.